Okay, let's make a start, shall we? It's 9:33 and we've got lots to cover between now and 10:15. We want to make sure that within that time that there's a bit of space for us to give some of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about, that we can give it a go, we can put it into practice. And if while I'm speaking at some point the lights go up a bit, I've asked to see if we can get a bit more light in here so I can see you a bit more clearly. So if that happens, then great, and that's what that is about. Well, morning, my name is Ali, and we're going to be looking at prayer ministry this morning. And I thought it'd be really helpful to start with just talking a little bit about what we mean by prayer ministry. How many of you have been to a Soul Survivor event before? Quite a few. How many of you haven't been to a Soul Survivor event before? Quite a few, about half and half, I think. Well, at Soul Survivor, we didn't do it last night, but from here on in, every May meeting, we're going to make room for what we call prayer ministry. And prayer ministry is kind of shorthand for space for God to minister to us by His Holy Spirit in whatever way He wants to. We hope that we are, and we certainly are intentional in saying to God, you've got freedom to do whatever you want, you're God, at any point in our meetings. And as well as that sort of general permission, we make sure that there is time in every one of our meetings where we clear the decks, where we absolutely make space for Him to do whatever He wants to do. And so one of the things I want to say right at the beginning of this seminar is when you think prayer ministry, you might have to slightly put aside what you would ordinarily think of when you hear the word prayer. Because rightly or wrongly, we often associate with the word prayer things that we say that unlock something. But in prayer ministry, it's going to be much less about us and what we say, and much more about intentionally making room for Him and be listening to Him and what He wants to do. Let me start with just a couple of stories from my own life of how, in a time of prayer ministry, God has met with me and what that looked like. So one was years ago. I had been working for Soul Survivor for about 3 years, was really loving it. At the time, I was a PA to one of the directors. At that point, I had no idea that God was going to call me in any way to leadership, to preaching, to training people. None of that stuff. I had no idea, but I was happy at Soul Survivor. I had come along to the very first Soul Survivor as a teenager, and God had used this to hugely impact me. I'd never seen anything like it before. I didn't know that worship could be like that. I didn't know about this thing called ministry, but when I saw it, I loved it. I saw what happened when we made space for God and how He brought freedom through that. I loved it. So anyway, so I've been working very happily for Soul Survivor for a few years, but I began to feel like God was moving me on. He began speaking to me and saying, I want you to lay it down and to go. Now, this was huge for me because, like I say, this was a ministry that I loved and I was happy in my job. So I was surprised when God said that. And so I really felt like I wanted some confirmation. And I was looking for lots of confirmation in lots of different ways. And there was one morning in our church back in Watford where I decided to go forward in a time of ministry. I cannot remember, so if you've been here before, you'll know that often in a time of ministry, we'll call certain people forward that God seems to be particularly highlighting that He, in that moment, particularly wants to be meeting with. And I don't know if there was one of those calls that I was responding to, or whether I just snuck in. That would be one of my top tips for you this week, is no matter what the call for ministry is, if you know that you want God to meet with you, then you can go forward anyway. There aren't going to be ministry police making you sit back down again. And I know there have been seasons in my life where I've just been so hungry for God to meet with me that I'll go no matter what. And so I don't know which one it was, but I went forward that day to receive prayer, to ask the Lord to meet with me. But I had a very specific question in my heart, and that was, have I heard you right, God? Are you asking me to leave Soul Survivor? And I went forward, and a girl from our church, Emma, she's here this week, she began praying for me. And I didn't tell her the situation at all. And she began praying for me. I don't know what she prayed, but I know after a little while she waited and she just said, Ali, I could have this completely wrong, but I see a picture of you. It's like you're in a box. And the Lord is saying, Ali, it's time to leave the box. You've outgrown the box. It's time to spread your wings. And I knew then, because I knew the question that was on my heart, I knew that God was speaking. And she began to pray into that and began to pray into this this idea of a new freedom coming. And I did. I left Soul Survivor for a season. How I ended up coming back is another story. But that day, God really met with me as he began to speak confirmation to me. Another time in our church back home, I'd had a bad back for a little while. I can't remember what caused it, but I'd had a bad back for a little while. We were at our church and somebody had a word of knowledge. So someone from the front said, I think there's someone here with this kind of back condition. And I promise you, if they hadn't said that word, I wouldn't have gone forward for prayer, mainly because I know lots of other people with much worse back conditions than me. And so I wouldn't have done it. But this word was given. And so I went forward for prayer. And I came forward. And this time a girl called Miriam came to pray for me. And she said, what can I pray for you? And I said, I'm the one with the bad back. And so she began to pray. She put a hand on my back. That's a good place to start when you're praying for healing. And she began to pray for healing. Lord, I ask, would you come and heal Ali's back? I speak to the back in the name of Jesus and I say, be healed. That's taking the authority that God has given us to speak to conditions in his powerful name. But then what Miriam did, what I often do when I'm praying for healing, is after you've done those kind of prayers, I pray for healing in Jesus' name, I speak to the back and say, be healed. After that, it's like, what else do you pray? And she did the best possible thing. She waited on God. Remember, this is about clearing the decks, making room for God to do whatever he wants to do. Anyway, she waited. And after a while, she said to me, Ali, I could be wrong, but I feel like God is saying it's time to dream the old dreams again. Now I'm not going to go into all what that meant because it would take up too long, but she could not have known that she was the third person in the space of a couple of months to say almost those exact words to me, Ali, it's time to dream the old dreams again. And I knew that he was speaking. And from that place, it wasn't just in that moment everything changed. Although, interestingly, my back was healed that day. I never suffered with that problem again. Even though, weirdly, that wasn't, in the end, the thing I focused on, because it was so amazing to me that God had spoken to me again. Ali, it's time to dream the old dreams again. And I began to do that. I began to dream and to pray with him about those things that I had long locked away, that he was saying, it's time to resurrect those things. And he began to breathe life on those dreams again. And stuff changed that day in the most amazing way. That's what we get to do in a time of ministry. It is about God by his Holy Spirit ministering to us. And so in both those cases, I felt ministered to by God. I knew he was speaking. I knew he was calling me. I knew he was challenging me. I knew there was stuff that he was doing. But in both those cases, for Emma and Miriam, what they did is they were obedient. They waited. They listened to God. And as they so gently shared what they felt the Lord was doing, it made more space, not less, for him to come and do what he wants to do. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. How can we be like Emma and Miriam in that case? How can we partner with God? Because yes, it is about him ministering to us. But what you see in the whole of history, in the whole of the Bible, is that when God goes on a mission, he takes human beings with him. That's what he loves to do. You look at the story of the slaves coming out of Egypt, and it wasn't this supernatural thing that happened on his own, just the sovereignty of God. I mean, it was the sovereignty of God, but there's a front man. There's Moses. He's saying, you're going to be my mouthpiece. And you look at when Jesus was on this earth and how he was preaching the kingdom and demonstrating the kingdom, but it wasn't just God alone doing that. He took 12 very real, broken, frail human beings and said, come and be part of this with me. That's just the heart of God. And so this week, in that meeting, and actually all over this site, God wants to meet with people, and he says to us, do you want to come along for the ride? Do you want to be part of my story this week? And so what we're going to be looking at is, how are we going to do that? How are we going to be like Miriam and Emma in the story? How are we going to be part of God ministering to his people? And before we get stuck into the practicalities, one of the things I want to say is the pressure is totally on him. The pressure is not on us. So we can look at stories like what I've just shared about Miriam and Emma and think, oh my goodness, I don't think I'll ever be able to hear God like that. But you know, the truth is, because God loves his people so much, he really wants them to get this. He really wanted me that day to hear, Ali, it's time to dream the old dreams again. And all it took was Miriam's obedience. She wasn't sure. We're going to look at that in a moment. The pressure is on him, and his heart is for his people. The whole story of the Bible is that God will do everything in his power, which, let's think about that, everything in God's power, which is unlimited, he'll do that to remove distance between him and us. And it's going to be no different this week. So the pressure isn't on him. The responsibility is on him. We just get to go along for the ride. A couple of pictures that might help us understand our role in this. One is in Luke 11. It's a story that Jesus told about a guy who goes to his friend in the middle of the night, and he knocks on the door of this friend and he says, friend, and I love that, because in the picture, this person that you're knocking on the door of, this is a picture of God, and I love that the friend calls him friend. So he says, friend, I need something from you. I have another friend who stopped by my house on a journey, and I've got nothing in the house to feed them. And that can't be. I need food for my friend on the journey. So friend, would you give me food to give to my friend? And when it comes to prayer ministry, we are this guy in the middle. We have a friend. When someone comes forward in one of our meetings or in any scenario, they've got a need. There's something that they want God to do. But guess what? We don't have what they need in our cupboards. We don't have healing. We don't have of our own wisdom. We don't have the kind of encouragement that's going to set them free. We don't have words of life. He has the words of life. I love that in John somewhere. I can remember the verse, but not the chapter. Where Jesus says to his disciples, are you going to go? Lots of people turn back. And Peter says, whom else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We don't have those words. He has them. And so our job is to go to the friend and say, friend, my friend, God, loving, kind, generous, healing God, I don't have what they need, but you do. Would you minister to them? And would you use me to do it? So that's one picture that will be helpful for us to hold on to. Another picture that's also in Luke. In Luke 5, it's the story of the paralyzed man. Lots of you will be familiar with it. This guy who needs healing because he's paralyzed. But they can't get anywhere near Jesus because the crowds are so pressing around Jesus. And so his friends take him up onto the roof. They make the hole in the roof and they lower him down to the feet of Jesus. And it says Jesus saw their faith and he healed the man. And you know, loads of people this week, and you might be one of them, loads of people this week just will come here feeling like, I don't know if I can even drag myself before Jesus. I am that discouraged. I am that weary. Things are that tough back home. I don't know how to do this. I've run out of prayers to pray. And we get to be the friends. And I love that, that in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, I've never met most of you before, yet we're family in God. And so then we can say, here's a friend who has a need. I don't have what they need, but I'm going to take them to my friend. I'm going to draw them to his feet and ask, Jesus, would you do for them what I can't do? I'm going to pull them before you. Would you minister healing? Would you minister encouragement? Would you anoint them by your Holy Spirit? Would you set them apart for the things that you've got for them? Would you speak encouragement to their heart? Would you cause something in their heart to come alive? Maybe for the first time, maybe that's around evangelism or healing or teaching or whatever, but would you bring life into their heart? Everything that is on their heart that they would love, would you do it? So hold on to those pictures as we talk then for the rest of the time about very practically what we're going to do. And what I want to say as we look at this practical stuff is we're not saying when we talk about this stuff here, we're not saying that the way that we do it here is not the way. But over the years, it's the best way that we've found to do things when we're together. And back in your home situation, you might not do ministry quite like this. But I really hope that lots of these principles will work. Let's say when you're gathered in your youth group, a bunch of mates hanging out, whenever you've got room, that you might choose to make room for God to do whatever he wants to do, and to take the hands off of the control, which loads of us, you know, of all ages struggle just to say, okay, God, no plan here, just whatever you want to do, and then step back and see what he wants to do. So I hope that you'll find that not only are the principles helpful while we're here, but that you can take them home. Okay, and the practical things that we're going to look at is stand, stop, listen, look, speak. Stand, stop, listen, look, speak. And I'm going to whiz through those because then we're going to give it a go. And so stand, the standing happens because what we'll usually do is we'll usually call people forward. So in a time of ministry, as I've said, we're like, we'll go with what we think God is saying, and there'll be a group of people that we particularly feel that God wants to meet with. That doesn't mean that he's not going to keep doing loads of stuff all over the arena, but there's a particular group of people, and we'll usually call them forward, not because the front is more holy, although there is something, I think, often if someone is responding to that word, that as they come forward, there's something that's set in them that's like saying, okay, God, I'm in. Whatever you want to do, just so you know, I'm in. That's me, I'm in. So they come forward, but they come forward to a space where we can see who wants prayer, and then we can make sure that the rest of you get around them and begin to pray and begin to minister what God wants to do. So we call them forward, and so if you're going to get involved, you're going to need to come forward too. And I want to encourage you that you would decide even this morning that you're just going to do this. Even if you've never done ministry in this way before, that you decide, I'm in too. I'm either going to get prayer or I'm going to pray, but I'm in. And I don't mean every single meeting, but I'd really encourage you, if you want to do this, the only way to do it is to do it. The only way to kind of get more comfortable in doing this is to do it. So you go forward and you stand with somebody. You stand alongside them. Now, often what will happen is if they've already come forward and you're then coming forward, the first thing that you will hit is their back. And so naturally, that's where people often stay. But what we would ask is push past that, push past them, come round to the front and stand in front of them where you can see them. And we're going to talk more about why that is in a moment. So you're going to stand in front of them. You might want to do that in pairs. You might want to decide now that you're sat next to someone, you might say, hey, shall we do this together? Let's learn this together. It might be that there's someone in your group who's already been doing it a little while, and you say, actually, I'd quite like to learn. Can I come with you? All of those things are great. Go and stand in front of the person. Lay a hand on them appropriately. Often the shoulder is a great place to start. The Bible talks about the laying on of hands as part one of the ways that we impart blessing. And so lay a hand on their shoulder and then ask the Holy Spirit to come. That's what we'll be doing from the stage. We'll be asking the Holy Spirit to come, and you're going to be doing the same. So we're asking him generally. You're asking particularly for that person. Now, Holy Spirit, would you come and meet with this person? Would you come and rest on them? When we say that, we're not saying Holy Spirit suddenly come in through the door, like he's been waiting outside, waiting for permission. He's already going to be in the room. When we say Holy Spirit come, we're asking him to do particular things. Would you come and particularly meet, particularly speak, obviously draw near? That's what we're saying. It's shorthand for all of that. So we stand, and the next thing we do once we're in that ready position and we're ready to go, it's like we're on the starting blocks and the starting pistol goes off, go, but we don't go anywhere. We stop. That's the next word. We stop. And this stopping is so important, because remember where I started, that this is that ministry times are about Jesus wanting to meet with his people through the Holy Spirit. And so stopping is our way of not just saying it with, you know, oh yeah, yeah, it's your time, God. It's about us actually choosing that. And we stop rather than rush straight on with all the things that we want to pray, with all the things that he wants to do. And we stop, and it is a proactive waiting. It's not a waiting for God, because we've already acknowledged that he's in the room. It's a waiting on God. What do you want to do? What do you want to say? How do you want to meet with this person? We stop. We stop because we love him, because we recognize that he's the one with the cupboard full. He is the one that has everything that they need, not us. So we stop and we look to him. We wait because we value him. We love what he does. We know that he's the only one that's got what they need. And we stop because what we have found is the waiting is important. It's important that we wait on him. We've found over the years that a little line you'll hear Mike say it lots this week, the more we wait, the more he does. Don't always know why, but that seems to be true. Sometimes it's because God wants to still us. As we're waiting on him, he's wanting to get beyond the surface stuff. Sometimes he wants us to wait because we've been so busy or we've been so frantic worrying about this thing or feeling guilt over this thing or being consumed with our own thoughts on this thing. And God is just waiting so that we're stilled in his presence. And it's when we're quiet that he can sometimes speak to us in ways that we can't hear when we're frantic. So he wants us to wait. And that means, that's a two-way thing, whether we are the one praying, which is primarily what we're looking at this morning, but also if we're the receiver, if we're someone that's gone forward, then I really want to encourage you as you do that this week, that you would wait on him, that you wouldn't just be thinking, what are they going to pray next? What's going to happen next? But you would choose just to receive from him. And I want to encourage you that if you're praying for someone, that might be part of your role, that you might need to encourage someone. If they've kind of got to the front and they're like, I've never done this before, I've never been to a meeting like this before, but whatever they just said from the front, that's me, I want this, I'm in. But then they get there and they're like, but I don't know what that now looks like to be in. So they're just stood there looking around thinking, what happens next? And when you see that, just encourage them, just say, this is your time to meet with God. Let him come and draw close. And you can say to them, you might want to close your eyes, you don't have to. You might want to hold out your hands, you don't have to. But just encouraging them to wait and encouraging them to receive from him. So we've stood and we've stopped. And then the next thing is we're going to do is we're going to listen. Now, listening in part might be about listening to the person that's come forward. So it might be like, example, if you're praying for healing, that you want to find out what do they want healing for. But what we would just say is keep those conversations to a minimum. This is not a place for conversation. There's loads of places on this site for conversation. And that's great and that's important. Most of you have come with youth leaders. They're great at listening to you, hopefully. We've got the chat room, which is, as it says on the tin, it's a chat room. It's a place where people can go to talk and to be listened to and be prayed with. But what we're going to do, again, hold on to that little line that in ministry we're clearing the decks. So we're going to keep conversation to a minimum. And the main person we're going to be listening to is, yes, we've had that quick interaction with the receiver, but the main person we're going to be listening to is God. And we're going to be opening up our ears to hear what he wants to say. Like with my friend Miriam, Ali, it's time to dream the old dreams again. Like with my friend Emma, you're in a box. It's time to get out. It's time to spread your wings. Now, automatically, what loads of us are thinking is, that's all right for Miriam and Emma, but I couldn't do that. I couldn't hear God like that. But do you know what you can? You absolutely can. Jesus is your friend. Jesus is your savior. And Jesus said in the Gospels, my sheep, they know my voice. And often God is speaking to you and you just don't realize it. And that's okay because you can learn. You can learn. And often what it is it's a thought that comes into your head that wasn't there a minute ago. And you could either offer it. And the worst thing that can happen is that you can be wrong. But if you offer it in a gentle way, like, Ali, I could be wrong. I wonder if God's saying it's time to dream the old dreams again. You know, if that hadn't landed with me, if that hadn't resonated in my heart and in my spirit, I just wouldn't remember it. I wouldn't be telling the story today. And over the years, there's probably been loads of those. So if you get it wrong, as long as you say it humbly and gently, no one's going to die. But if you get it right, if you have heard the whisper of Jesus and you go for it, someone comes to life. Now, Mike is amazing at this. And one of the things you're going to see here this week is because he's just spent years being obedient and years just agreeing with God. If I think you're saying something to me, I would rather go for it and get it wrong than always be left wondering. And he's been encouraging Andy and I for years the same. And I have to say that that's been a hard thing for me because I know that I hear God speak, but not in always quite the same way as that Mike does. And I get, if I'm honest, I get quite trapped in my own head where I sort of second guess myself and third guess myself. But I keep saying, God, I'm going to try and be brave. I'm going to try and be brave. And I had a couple of words last week for people, and it seemed to be fine. And, you know, but I just thought I'm going to keep going. Anyway, on the last night of Soul Survivor B, I just had a thought, and it, honestly, it's never definite. It's never that you feel like God's gone, you know, Ali, I want to speak to you now, open your ears. It's never that. It's just the thought that comes into your head that wasn't there before. And this thought that I had was that there's someone here, and in the next week, one of their parents is getting some medical test results back. And this person who's here is absolutely, they feel sick with fear over that scenario because they've already lost someone in their family to an illness. And I just thought, it's the last night. You can't. It's that whole thing of, I don't want to be left wondering. I'll be honest with you and say, some of the other soul survivors, I've been left wondering. I've gone away thinking, I think that was you, God. I didn't share the word. And I'm so sorry, but I'll try and be brave tomorrow. I've had so many of those experiences. And on this last night, I was feeling all the fear. And I just sort of whispered to Mike, I think I've got a word for someone, but I won't get them to stand up. I'll do it the slightly easier way. And I'll just say, if that's you, come and find me. Anyway, I shared the word, and about five people got prayed for, which was amazing. They came up, and God was really meeting with them, and I was encouraged. I was really encouraged. But one of the things I said is, one of Andy's little lines is, if I get it wrong, no one dies, but if I get it right, someone comes to life. And one of our friends who used to be with us in Watford and is now a youth worker came up to me that night and said, that word that you just had was for someone in our youth group. They're here this week, but they're completely unchurched. They're not Christian. They're not from a Christian family. They don't go to church. That word was for him. He got prayer, and then he gave his life to Jesus. If we get it right, someone comes to life. If I had got that wrong, who cares? No one would have known anyway. I would have just said this word and said, and if that's for anyone, then come and see me. And for the 8,000 people in the room, they'd have had no idea whether someone did or not. But I know, and Jesus knows. Jesus knew even before he spoke to me that there was a guy that needed to meet with him that night, and that he was going to use that word as the gateway to draw him to him. Isn't that amazing? I promise you, isn't he amazing? I didn't feel amazing. I felt full of fear. I felt like convinced I was going to get it wrong. This is what we need to be doing for one another. Just opening up our ears. It will never feel certain, but be bold and go for it. 1 Corinthians 14:3 just says that when we bring these kind of words to people, it just needs to be strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. So as long as it fits with that, as long as it's going to bring strength to someone or encourage them or comfort them in some way, then really... you've just got to be kind and gentle and go for it. And as long as you're not forceful, as long as you're not, God has said this to me, you must do this, you must respond this way. As long as you're gentle and just say, I could have this wrong, I just wonder. And then what happens is you begin to see if that's going to land. So if you're praying for someone one-on-one, you know, in many ways, that's much more scary than what I did from a stage because I had that anonymity, you know, no one knew if I got it right or wrong. If you're praying for someone, it'll probably seem obvious to you whether or not that word is right. You know, I could be wrong, but I just wonder if God's wanting to do something in your relationship with your sister. And then they go, I haven't got a sister. And you go, okay, I got that wrong. Let's keep praying and let's keep looking to him and waiting. So just listen to him. And I want to say again, make a little resolve in your heart before him this morning. God, I'm going to open up my ears. I'm going to choose to listen to you. I know that it's going to take courage every single time, but I'm going to choose to listen to you because I want people to come to life. I want people to be encouraged and comforted and strengthened. And so you're doing all of that. You're listening. And while you're listening, you're looking. You've got your eyes open. Now, most of us have been taught, and what we've seen around us is you pray with your eyes closed so that you don't get distracted. But we're going to encourage you to pray with your eyes open. There's a few reasons for that. One of them is simply that if you're saying something like, I could be wrong, but I wonder if God wants to do something in your relationship with your sister, if they go, you're like, that doesn't seem right. So, you know, you begin to see, but also as you're looking, you see signs of God at work. Often as you're looking, you'll just see that someone, as you're looking and as you're praying, you see that someone looks peaceful. It might be very practically that you see what we were talking about earlier, that someone looks uncomfortable. They don't know what to do with themselves. And if your eyes are open, you can help them with that. You can say, maybe you've never had prayer like this before. All it is we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to meet with you. So, and he'll do that gently. So just close your eyes, you know, whatever. You can just coach them along a bit in that. But also, excuse me, that what Jesus said is that he only did what he saw the Father doing. And so what you're doing is you're looking for signs. Father, what are you doing? How are you wanting to meet with them? And now that might sound strange if you've never done it before, but if you have done it before, hopefully you'll recognize that idea that as you look, you begin to get a sense. I love when Jesus said to his disciples, he said, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And I love that what he said to them is when he said, open your eyes and look at the fields, what they would have done in that moment is they would have looked at the fields. Now, Jesus wasn't actually teaching them about fields and about harvest in the sense of creation, what's going on around them. He was talking about his kingdom. But what he's saying is, look at that. And as you see that, and as you can see with your eyes that the field is ready, let me use that to show you what I'm saying, that people are ready to come into my kingdom. And in the same way then, where in that example, the natural world, the created world speaks of the supernatural world, the things that we can't see, what often Jesus is doing is he's saying, Ali, open your eyes and see with your eyes and it will speak to you about what I'm doing. Now, having said all of that, there's another little line to hold on to. I've given you a few, you know, clearing the decks and God wants to meet with his people. And if we get it right, someone comes to life. Here's another one. Open your eyes, but know this, that God is often doing more behind your back than he's doing in front of your face. That often you won't actually fully get to see what he's doing. You know that story with Miriam and where she said, Ali, it's time to dream the old dreams again. That was 9 years ago. And I finally emailed her a couple of months ago to say, you probably won't remember this, but can I tell you about this day that you prayed for me, this line that you had, what it meant for me and what it has looked like since. And she had no idea. She couldn't even remember praying for me because on that day, God was doing more behind her back than he was doing in front of her face. It was between me and him. Even though she was the mouthpiece. My brother-in-law was once praying for someone for healing in his church. And he prayed for this guy called Jack who had a knee injury and who hadn't been able to play football for a long time and was actually waiting for an operation on this injured knee to try and get it sorted. But he asked for healing. So my brother-in-law started praying for healing. And he, with the guy's permission, he put a hand on his knee and he spoke to the knee in Jesus' name. And he said, be healed in Jesus' name. And then he ran out of things to pray, like I said earlier. And so this guy, Jack, his eyes were closed as Paul was praying for him. And while Jack's eyes were closed, Paul, my brother-in-law, felt the awkwardness, felt like I've run out of stuff to pray. So I'm going to just sneak off while his eyes are closed and I'm going to go and pray for someone else. And that's what he did. And he went to bed that night just feeling a bit of an idiot and feeling a bit like he'd let God down. Like, I felt like I didn't do a great job of praying for that person. I'm sorry. I don't know what else I could have done, but I'm sorry. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, again, back at church, they were having a time of testimony where they were sharing good stories of what God had been up to. And this guy, Jack, gets up and he said, I've had this knee injury. I love football, but I haven't been able to play. I've been waiting for an operation. I came to church a couple of weeks ago. I got prayed for. God healed my knee. I've been back playing football. The operation is cancelled. Last night, I scored a goal. And Paul was stunned because that moment didn't feel spiritual. He didn't feel the power of God come down his arm and through his hand and into this guy's knee. But what he was he was obedient and he was doing his part. He was saying, I'm going to pray and I leave the results to you, God. And that's the best, one of the best attitudes we can have of this. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to knock on my friend's door and say, I don't have anything in my cupboard, but I'm going to leave the meal to him. I'm going to leave those results down to him. So look, but hold on to the fact that God's going to be doing more behind our back, even than he's doing in front of our face. And I do believe that he is going to be doing stuff in front of our face this week. But whatever you see in front of you, know that there's even more that we don't see. And then finally, speak, or what we do with our mouths. Because we've already said that we're going to keep this very limited in terms of conversation. We've already said it's not really about what we pray. It's about the Lord ministering. So where do we come in? Well, one of the things I want to say is you just pray what God gives you. So as you maybe sense that God is speaking, pray into that. if you feel like he's leading you somewhere, just pray into that. And then having prayed into that a little bit, then you just wait again. You go back to the waiting. Okay, what else, God? And you know, so that might be that you sense that God is saying, this person's just been through a really tough time, and I want to tell them that I'm near. So then instead of maybe offering that as a word, you could just pray, Lord, I just pray for Charlotte. I just pray, God, that she would know your closeness. Lord, whatever has gone on back home, I just pray that she would know that you love her and that you're here. And then go back to waiting. Don't turn that into a sermon. Don't open your Bible and read four chapters of Ezekiel over her. Just go back to waiting. And then at some point, you might sense that particular time is done. You know, you've waited, you've listened, you've prayed over her certain things that God's given you. But then it's okay to ask gentle questions. You could say, is there anything else you'd like me to pray for you after you've given it some time? Or you might say, do you sense God doing anything? Particularly if you're praying for healing, do you sense God doing anything right now? It's not unholy to ask gentle questions. When someone is being ministered to, they're not on a holy date night that you're going to ruin the atmosphere. You know, it's just them and God, and there they are having this amazing spiritual candlelit dinner, and you come in and ask, how's it going? And it's like, oh my goodness, the whole atmosphere is ruined. What a waste of an evening. It's not like that. You know, you can ask a gentle question, and if God is still doing stuff, then that gentle question isn't going to get in the way. And so part of that is just, again, listening to him. I know people often say to me, how do I know when to stop praying for someone? And it's the same as any part of ministry. You're just trying to keep your ears open to what God is saying and your eyes open to what you see in front of you. You know, sometimes people, especially somewhere like here where maybe people aren't used to prayer of this sort, sometimes after a little while they might just feel like they need your permission to go, that they've had enough, yeah, that was great, and then you can just say, you know, you keep resting in his presence. When you feel like you're done, feel free to go back to your seat or your patch of carpet. So don't be frightened to sort of to speak to them and to ask gentle questions. So we've stood, we've stopped, we've listened, we've looked, and we have used our mouths to pray gently along the lines of whatever God is giving us. And I want to say in all of this, it's an amazing adventure. It's so fun. It's one of the times when I often feel really close to Jesus, because it's his work and I'm hanging out with him while he does it. And it's like me and my Savior, me and my friend, me and my Father, hand in hand as he meets with his people. And so I really want to encourage you here and at home, go for this. Go for ministering to one another. Go for listening to him. And don't worry if you feel inadequate. All of us do. If you ever meet anyone that doesn't feel inadequate, then maybe they might, not inadequate, maybe that's too strong a word. But if there's anyone that's like, yeah, I've got this in the bag, maybe the danger then is that we start to look to ourselves and not look to him. Every single time our attitude is, my cupboards are bare, his cupboards are full. What have you got, Lord?